Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome everybody to Flickr Effect. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm Dave Lott. Joining me this week is Bobby Jackson. How's it going, Bobby?
Going good. How are you?
Good. Just the two of us. More intimate episode, if you will.
Yeah, we were going to do this yesterday, but we decided to wait because we heard that there was going to be a trailer for the new Star Wars series on Disney Plus for The Acolyte. So we were like, all right, let's hold off a day. And so we've got that to talk about, as well as another trailer drop for Mad Max, Furiosa. So second trailer drop for that. So we'll talk about that as well. And one news item to get into for today, which is there was something that dropped, which kind of caught me by surprise, just out of nowhere, that there is a particular actor in contention for the next James Bond role. And it is Aaron Taylor Johnson, who, if I'm not mistaken, his next movie to come out will probably be Kraven the Hunter for Sony. So I guess let's get into that first, and then we'll get into the two trailers.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It's one of those things where it feels like this has been talked about ever since, actually prior to Daniel Craig announcing that he was no longer going to play the role, that we've been wondering who would fulfill the shoes of James Bond. And, you know, there'd been talk here and there about, even would it be possible to do a female version of James Bond? And I think the owners, the Broccolis, said, no, James Bond, it's a guy, and that's the way we're going with it. So there'd been different names that have been popping up over the years. I can't think of everyone, but I think of people like Idris Elba. There's Henry Cavill. I think I'd even seen Aaron Taylor Johnson's name pop up once before. So to me, it was like when the news came today, I wasn't surprised when I saw that they were saying that it seems like the role has gone out to him in an offer, and it's his to refuse. So if he doesn't want it, he can pass on it. But it seems like, and granted, and remember, this is just rumor, but that's what it's saying out there, is that it's pretty much his if he wants it. So, David, I saw in our chat that you only showed an emoji, which, judging by the emoji, it didn't look like you were quite as thrilled with the news as maybe some out there. So what were you thinking when you saw the news about this possibility of Aaron Taylor Johnson playing the next James Bond?
I'll admit, my quick gut reaction was, I need to think about this. That was my quick reaction. But I'm saying that as a fan. I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. I think he's very talented. I think most recently about his role in Bullet Train. He's great, but he's done tons of stuff that I've enjoyed him in. And the more I've thought about it, the more I've like, well, I guess I was reacting that way because he just wasn't my first pick. Not that I really even have a first pick, if I really think about it, because I really don't know who should be James Bond. And maybe it's this part of me that was like hoping, even though I knew this wouldn't happen, to kind of have like a no name, you know, actor take the role.
Sort of like how Daniel Craig was.
Kind of, yeah.
At the movie or the role.
Yeah, kind of like that. So I guess I was hoping maybe it would go down that road. And I mean, we're saying this, like you've already said, this is not like a confirmed, absolute happening news item. Like, we don't know for sure that he's actually going to get the part or has been offered the role. But if he is offered the role, I will say I'm pretty happy with it. Maybe, yeah, not my first choice, but I think he'll be a good Bond. But yeah, like you said, in my emoji, it was like a straight face emoji that I sent in our group chat when this news dropped. And again, I think that's just because I was like, oh, him, huh? I don't know why I had that him, huh? Again, I like him, but I guess just he wasn't my first thought of a Bond. But there's been other names thrown around, I feel like, that have been less interesting to me than him. So what did you think of it?
So for me, I wasn't surprised, as I mentioned before, because I've seen his name mentioned once or twice in different lists. So I guess I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah. I can see it, especially nowadays in terms of some of the ways he's been looking in his movies. Bullet Train, not Bullet Train. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
Bullet Train. The one with Brad Pitt. Yep. Yeah, that comes to mind. And so I'm thinking, okay, I can see him in that role, depending on how they want to play the role of Bond. All he needs to do really is just cut his hair short and pretty much put on a suit. So I definitely can see him playing the role, and seeing how I'm more curious as what kind of personality type James Bond will have, because Daniel Craig is obviously different than the Bonds that have come before him.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious if they'll kind of reinvent Bond for Aaron Taylor Johnson, if it turns out to be true, or if he'll, I guess, maybe play it more of a conventional Bond that's more the playboy and the spy, that's more like in the vein of Sean Connery kind of thing. So I'm wanting more to see what kind of Bond we have in store for us, as opposed to who's going to play the Bond.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I've been very curious if they're going to kind of continue down the line that they, you know, the kind of Bond they created with Daniel Craig, and try to kind of keep that tone, or if they're going to reinvent everything, you know, like change the tone kind of again. Part of me like looks at a casting of Aaron Taylor Johnson, who I think would arguably be the like buffest Bond we've had. And wonder if that kind of casting is evidence of them maybe trying to push it even more in the like Mission Impossible direction of like the, in terms of feel, you know?
Yeah.
But that could be not the case at all. Of course, we don't know. And I mean, I don't, you know, this news dropped this morning and we're recording this Tuesday night. And by the time this posts, you know, most likely tomorrow, and you're listening to this, who knows what will have been, you know, debunked or confirmed. But as of right now, as far as I know, like this is news that was reported by The Sun over in the UK. And basically all the headlines we've been seeing is just kind of everyone reporting that what The Sun has reported, that they have sources, I guess, saying that he's been offered the role and they basically expect him to accept it, but it could be any day now. I had heard that the BBC like looked into it and they found a source that said there's no credibility to the reports. I don't know how true that is. But apparently that's the one more reputable news organization that I guess was able to find some info. So yeah, in other words, this is all still rumor. Who knows, but, yeah, I'm cool with it, but it just, I don't know. It caught me off guard at first. Like you said, when I opened up social media this morning, it just kind of like do a quick scroll to see what was going on. And that was like the first thing I saw. And I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And So I think that's, that's where my reaction came from in terms, you know, when it came to this.
Yeah. It wasn't like we, again, have to keep stressing that this is just rumor, but it wasn't like it's one of those situations where we knew we were getting an announcement soon or something.
Right.
And so this just kind of came out of nowhere because they'd been so quiet on that front for so long. So that it was just kind of like, oh, okay, here's some news.
Yeah.
Just dropped in our laps out of nowhere.
Right, right. It's funny, too, how so many news outlets that are reporting this rumor have used the phrase like Marvel star Aaron Taylor Johnson. And I mean, it actually took me a little bit to remember that he was in an MCU film. I mean, honestly, my first reaction was like, are they saying that because he's about to be Kraven the Hunter? Like, which is, it's Marvel, I guess, but it's Sony, like a Sony produced film. So it's not MCU. And I was like, that's a weird way to introduce him. I just don't think of him. I guess most outlets figure people think of him as, I guess, Quicksilver, the one film he was in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know. I found that funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird. Most of the time I'll see Kick-Ass or Kick-Ass 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just say the Marvel, it is like he was only in one movie, really. And so it's hard to see why that would be the one.
That would be the way
to describe him. Maybe like saying he was in Godzilla.
Yeah. Like, I think of Tenet and, again, Bullet Train. The funny thing was, is Carlton and I were talking about it because we're both big Bond fans. And it started a discussion. And then we got onto that. And he was the one that had to remind me, oh, yeah, he was in Age of Ultron. I'm like, oh, that's yeah. I totally forgot. Anyway.
Yeah, so I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later. Like you said, it may be getting debunked as we speak or within the next day or two. So we'll definitely find out more soon.
Yeah.
On to some of the trailer talk. So first up, one of the trailers, again, kind of like this Aaron Taylor Johnson news. I was not expecting a second trailer for Furiosa. And I don't know why, or let me rephrase that. I was expecting the second trailer for Furiosa. I just didn't know we would be getting one this soon, or at least within this time frame. I don't even recall when the movie comes out still. Maybe you know the date. But it's just, for me, it was one of those things where it was like, you, again, posted it in our group chat, and I was like, oh, that's right. There's that movie coming out, but was not expecting a trailer today. So I didn't actually get a chance to watch it initially until I got home from work today. So I had a chance to watch it. And I'll say for what I saw, it looks like it's going to make a lot of money in the box office. It just looks like a continuation of what we saw from the last film in terms of some of these characters we've seen, but just obviously in later years, but now we're doing it as a prequel and seeing some of the beginnings of it. And Chris Hemsworth looks great, and he looks like he should be an interesting character to follow. In that first trailer, I couldn't have guessed naturally that he'd be set up for the villain role. But that's made pretty clear in this second trailer. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play something other than Thor and playing a bad character. And Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yep.
Yeah. I almost was confusing her with Aaron Taylor Johnson. So I was like,
your brain was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Sure. It was short circuiting. It was like, what's going on? Anya Taylor-Joy. She looks great. She looks like she's really embodying that aspect of Furiosa, and in a way that I don't even know that I necessarily saw out of Charlize Theron, because she plays the character so quietly in a way. And this one seems like she's really upfront and in your face. And so it should be exciting to see how she plays this character. But again, to me, it just looks like this is going to make a lot of money at the box office. It looks like it's going to be up pretty much everyone's alley that liked the first one. What'd you think?
So it's funny. I agree with you when it comes to, I did, you know, today was all about the Acolyte trailer, right? It was like just waiting for it to drop. And I think the Acolyte trailer had already dropped. And then it was like, I was like, wait, is this a new Furiosa trailer? It's just like, where'd this come from? But the funny thing is even before this trailer dropped, I had already thought about, you know, before we, you know, got around to recording this episode, that I was going to ask you or wanting to bring up the fact that we hadn't talked about the Furiosa trailer at all yet. And I was curious to talk to you about it. And I think that came to mind because we just saw Dune Part 2 again and it played in front of it. And I was curious what you were thinking of it, because I'll be honest, like I, you know, for those who don't know, Mad Max Fury Road, I think it was my number one film that year on our top 10 list. I love that movie. And I remember seeing the trailer for that film in Hall H when it was first like revealed and going, oh my God, like I didn't know what to expect out of a new Mad Max movie, but looks insane. And then when the first trailer for Furiosa came out, I don't know, I think my first reaction was like, this looks like more of the same, but for some reason it has a different look about it. Like,
yeah,
something that I wasn't necessarily in love with. And then this trailer drops though. And I mean, in a way it's still kind of has a different look, but it looks solid. I think it's going to be great, but I was curious if that was something you had noticed as well and if it bugged you or not. Or
yeah, I could have sworn we had talked about it. That's why I was sitting here thinking, about this trailer?
And we took such a big break. We took such a big break on the show. I don't think we ever got around to talking about this. No. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we did.
No, I think I might have been talking to my coworker maybe. But I remember whoever I was talking to, telling them that while I think it's going to be a good movie and I'm interested in what's going on the screen and I like what I see from a visual standpoint, the thing that struck me is in the way that the film itself looked was that I remember describing it as looking too clean.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't look as dirty and grimy as it think that it should look. It just looks very well shot and just like pristine in a way that it just doesn't feel so lived in the way that, you know, the other one did, and obviously some of the other Mad Max movies in general.
Right.
This one, everybody just looks too nice for some reason to me. But the second one is more of that as well. So I think by the time I've seen the second one, I was already used to, okay, this is kind of how it's going to look. It's going to look very stylized in a way that just doesn't have that sort of dirtiness to it that the first one had.
Yeah. No. Okay. So, yeah, similar to how I felt about it. It's just, I mean, and it's hard to have the same reaction because it's in the same universe and everything. But, yeah, I definitely didn't get that feeling about it like I got when I first saw that Fury Road trailer where I was just like, oh, my God, that looks fantastic. And it was just felt like nothing I'd never seen before. And yeah, so that's understandable. It's not like it's a whole new world. It's kind of the same universe, just like a prequel. So just, that was my only thought, but otherwise I think it looks good. I'm looking forward to it. And to answer your question, it comes out, Memorial Day weekend. So May 24th is the release.
Okay. Then yeah, we were definitely due for a second trailer for because that's right around the corner.
Very close. Okay.
And as you mentioned, David, the star of the show today in terms of what we were going to do, and as I mentioned up top, is we were told that we were going to get a trailer or at least a teaser for the Acolyte, and they announced that by showing a poster. And I can't recall what it says on the poster, but the image is of this lightsaber that's not lit, it's broken, and there's a trail of blood where the light part of the saber would be. And it talks about something about light and then a darkness rising,
kind of thing,
if I remember correctly.
In an age of light, a darkness rises.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very striking imagery in terms of seeing something like that. And some of the backstory to this Acolyte series is it takes place during the High Republic, and it's within 100 years before the Phantom Menace. So this is supposed to kind of give you a little taste of how, I guess, the Sith are starting to kind of come back in the picture before Palpatine, how it leads that into that direction, not necessarily showing Palpatine, but how it's kind of coming from that and going into that direction. And so we got this teaser trailer. I don't know how long it was. It felt like it was at least a minute and a half, maybe.
Yeah, but I think it was like a minute 40 or something like that.
Okay. And so, David, I'm going to ask you, what'd you think of our first look at the Acolyte?
So, my first reaction is that I don't know if I should set this up or not, but my excitement level for this show is not changed by this trailer. I'll say that. Like,
okay.
I guess you would say I was underwhelmed by it. Like, you know, we've been talking about this trailer, like you and I, for a little while now, going, all right, when is it coming? We're looking forward to this. We're both big Star Wars fans. This was, I think we can both agree, of all the stuff for Disney Plus that was listed a while back as, you know, coming in the Star Wars universe. We were both like, the Acolyte, the description of this, I cannot, of all the things you guys have announced, this is what I really want to see. And I've been pumped about it, but then also in the current state of Star Wars, I've been very like worried, like, oh man, like if they don't nail this, I don't know how I'm going to feel after it's over. You know, in a way, at least, you know, for me, this feels like a big test of like, all right, can we move in a better direction? Or is this just going to be more of the Disney Plus Star Wars same, you know? And so then I watched the trailer, and I will say I make a point to say I'm kind of on feeling the same, because I'm like, I watched this trailer. This show could be fantastic. This show could be terrible. It's really still hard to say. But there was nothing about the teaser just a regular trailer. But as trailers go, there was nothing about it that got me like pumped. And, you know, yeah, as trailers go, I think it's not great, because I think a good trailer could show you even less imagery, but be cut in a way and presented in a way that gets you like super excited. And this was definitely for me not like that. It had a clean kind of look about it that it looks similar to, you know, most other things we've seen on Disney Plus Star Wars other than Andor. And it kind of has that same look. And other than the fact that apparently they did not use the volume at all, which, you know, it's just a, like you said, minute and a half trailer. It's not like we get a lot to look at here, but at least that's good to hear. But my first reaction to it was underwhelmed. It looks fine. I mean, yeah, there's things to get excited about. Oh, look at all the lightsabers. Finally, a Disney, you know, Star Wars show about Jedi. Like, this is cool. Like, I'm still excited to see those things. But at the same time, there was nothing about it that kind of pumps me up. And I mean, I can get more into it, but I want to hear from you first. What did you think?
Well, I would say I know the most about the High Republic era.
Yeah.
And I know that you read some of the stuff. And so
nowhere near as much as you have.
But yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I'm like caught up on it all.
Right.
For at least the main storyline. There's ones that are offshoot novels as well. But as far as the main books, I'm all caught up in that. So this series excites me from that standpoint of going to that era in live action. There's an animated series that's out there for kids that deals within the High Republic era that I haven't really watched. But as far as this is concerned, this is on my very anticipated list because of the time that it's set and the story in which that they're trying to tell that has a Sith leaning to it. So for me, seeing this trailer was almost anticlimactic because I feel like this is the exact same trailer, maybe with some slight differences, as the one that leaked a few months ago.
Oh, so you had seen that one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't seen
that. So for me, it was not, it was more like getting to see it cleanly because the leaked trailer was from someone's camera pointed at the screen. And so it wasn't the best presentation of what was to be seen.
Right.
But I will say, if I take myself back to that point from what I did see, that leaked footage, it had me excited for the prospect of what's to come. Seeing Carrie-Anne Moss as a Jedi and seeing like that they're fighting less with lightsabers, which actually makes a decent amount of sense because they don't want to show their hand too early, that the Sith, I mean, and that they are what they are. We're told in the trailer that there's someone that's killing Jedi. And so more than likely, they're trying to do it through means other than using a lightsaber, but also still using the Force and doing anything else that they can to kill Jedi. And so I think that the aspects of what's there has me excited more so than seeing the trailer itself, because I'd seen it for the most part before. But even just in general, it's that's why I keep calling it, I think, a teaser, because that's what it felt like to me. It felt like it teased something.
That's why I would say teaser at first too, because it feels like a teaser to me as well.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like we're getting that first trailer where it's really going to delve into something a little bit deeper in terms of what we're going to be seeing. So for a teaser, it just made me say, okay, it's setting this up for us to get a little idea of what's to come. And I think in that sense, it did what it needed to do, but I can understand why I haven't really seen what other people out there are saying, but if anyone else is underwhelmed by it, I can understand that, because we weren't shown very much within this. And it, as you said, sort of still kind of looks like what we've seen before. Obviously, there's more expansiveness to it since it's not set on a soundstage or in the volume. And so, I mean, I think that we'll get more of that in a bigger and a better presentation of like a second trailer or first full trailer kind of thing.
Right.
And so I feel like it did just enough to pique my interest to be able to see another trailer for it before I can say whether or not I'm feeling like, uh-oh, or I'm feeling like, all right, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, did you by chance see or read the showrunner creator of Acolyte, Leslie Headland? She did an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, like Heat Vision. Did you see that or read that?
There was a few different articles I saw. And I don't know if they're all pulling from the same source or not. And they were titled differently for each one. Okay. So I don't know which one specific, because I didn't get to read any of them. I just highlighted or I starred them so I could read them later. But to answer your question, no, I didn't get to read that.
Well, I would read it. I'll send it to you if you haven't found it or anyway. And I will say, reading it after the fact, like after seeing I had already watched the trailer three times and then I was still feeling the same about it. Like, you know, it's not like every time I watched it, I was like, yep, but still feel kind of underwhelmed kind of by it. It looks fun, but I don't know. And anyway, but then I read this interview she did with the Hollywood Reporter and I was like, she's saying all the right things, and she's saying all the right things that are getting me more excited. Like, you know, she was a diehard, or, you know, a big lover of Star Wars, I guess is the way to describe it. And she mm-hmm. went to Lucasfilm, like, wanting to make this. And, you know, the writer's room that she put together sounds just right, where she included, you know, writers from that love different eras of Star Wars, plus a writer that had never watched Star Wars purposely to be there to be like, look, I'm not looking at this from the perspective of Star Wars, but in terms of like, why are we doing this narratively, you know, kind of thing. And I think that's a good idea. And, you know, she talks about, you know, what kind of fan service is going to be in this show. And it's like the kind of fan service that I'm like, I'm good with this. Like, she's saying all the right stuff that makes me go, okay, like, it sounds like this is a person I can trust to make a good Star Wars show. But again, based on the trailer so far, I'm like, eh, you know, but it's giving me high hope that this is going to be really good. I'm so hoping it is.
Yeah.
It's tough, you know?
If one of the things that kind of gave me a little bit hope outside of the trailer itself, and this was before seeing the trailer as well, was that, or the teaser, was that, Kevin Scott had sent out a tweet saying that something to the effect of like, oh, you guys, you know, you're going to really love this kind of thing.
Yeah. And
Kevin Scott, for anyone that doesn't know, I think it was Kevin Scott. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you have a chance to look at the tweet I sent. But his thing is he's wrote a few different novels within the High Republic, and I've liked his books so far. So it sounds like he may have had a chance to see some of it, if not all of it. And obviously you could say, well, you know, he's towing the company line. He worked for Lucasfilm, so he works directly within the High Republic. And so you wouldn't expect him to say anything bad.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't also expect that he had to say anything at all, because he's in the book division. He's not working in the live action. And so I feel like if for him to have said something, it means that he's really pumped about what he saw. And so I feel like I'm hoping on that's something that's going to manifest when I get a chance to see it, in that comes across, because he's also a comic book writer too. So he's done a few different things in the world. And I think that him saying that, and also backed up by what you just said, David, in terms of the interview, has me hopeful in a way that I want to give them my trust until they don't get it anymore. They have to lose it, basically. So I'm willing to give them my trust for now.
It's a Charles Soule, by the way. Is that how you say his last
Charles
name?
Charles Soule. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin Scott is a different one. Charles Soule. Because I you know why I was hesitant on Kevin Scott more than Charles Soule? Because I know that Charles Soule used to write, I believe, Daredevil. And I think, again, in my brain, if I'm not messing this up, and forgive me out there if anyone's listening and I do get this wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, Charles Soule at one point was a lawyer, which why is one of the things that made him good at writing Daredevil.
Yeah, right.
And so also he did write in the High Republic as well. He's one of the other writers in the High Republic. So yeah, him saying all those things and having the showrunner say all these things have me hopeful.
Yeah. So just Star Wars question for you. I don't know if you've thought about this. I have to imagine you have. And I've seen some chatter about it already. Like, is there any part of you that's either worried or just wondering if this show is going to kind of, in a way, retcon stuff from like Phantom Menace / the prequels in terms of the Sith? Do you know?
No. I just feel like the showrunner, her being such a Star Wars fan,
right,
would not come at it at an angle of messing something up.
You wouldn't think so.
You would not think so, but
But I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around how that would be handled. But go on. Sorry.
Well, I feel like because of the length of time in between the two, that there's enough time there to settle anything that happens here before anything that happens in the prequels, if that makes sense. And the thing that I think about a lot is that Star Wars has always kind of had some wonkiness when it comes to certain lore, not necessarily things that are retcon per se, but just things that don't make a lot of sense when you think too much about them. Like the fact that when you think about the Clone Wars movie, however many years that is before Luke comes of age and we see A New Hope, by that time, people act like Jedis were a myth. And it wasn't like hundreds of years ago that the Jedi
were... That long ago, right?
Yeah, that the Jedi were plentiful. So there's like little stuff like that that they kind of do. And even the Obi-Wan series kind of retcons stuff a little bit. But, you know, I think we all kind of just collectively say, okay, I don't think that's good, but we're going to move past it. So I don't know that they're going to do anything majorly that no one would be able to get past. There might be something that people could bump up against, but not necessarily something that's going to completely alter what we know that comes afterwards. So I'm curious in the sense of what do you think that it might change or retcon in some way?
I mean, so yeah, I'm specifically thinking about the fact that I think it's in Phantom Menace, but yeah, in the prequels, you know, the Sith are discussed, and I think I forget the Jedi's name. I think there's a line where he says that the Sith have been extinct for a millennia, when kind of questioning that this can't be the Sith kind of thing. And, you know, going back to that interview, I think it's kind of brought up or questioned like, hey, is it explicit like to the audience, like what we're dealing with here in terms of like who this acolyte is an acolyte of, like, and, you know, I think, Hedlund like it says at first it's unsure, but you will know. She doesn't kind of confirm that this is Sith, but I mean, it seems to be that's what we're talking here, Sith. And, you know, when I look at this trailer and from everything I can tell about this show, it would seem that Jedi are directly, you know, in conflict with, you know, this Sith, I guess. Right. And like, it's hard to then imagine how did the Jedi like, yeah, it's been 100 years, but why is it that in memory, like, there's been no Sith around for a millennia. Like, that's the kind of thing that I'm not saying like. I guess I was saying like I have a hard time wrapping my head around how you would handle that, but there's a part of me that's like, okay, I'm hopeful that there is going to be something about it that makes sense. But you're also right. Going back to Star Wars in general, like ever since Star Wars has moved away from the original trilogy and tried to expand on the storytelling, there's definitely been things here and there that don't quite line up with what we've been told previously. It's absolutely not. This would not be the first time that happens. But it's still, as a fan, like. And I'm saying this, and I'm not even a fan of the prequels. I don't even care about the prequels. But I mean, there are things about them I care about as a Star Wars fan. They are, you know, still canon, and I like to see continuity work. And it's like, if it's going to be one of those situations where like it's just blatantly like, we're just going to pretend no Jedi ever said that. That's the kind of stuff that just like gets on my nerves. Is all I'm saying. But we don't know that that's the case. But that's why I bring it up.
Yeah. And so for me, I also think that the way I could see that working out is that the person first of all, they don't ever say Sith, I don't think, in that teaser. So they just kind of know something's out there. And I think that's why they're using tactics in which you don't know that they are Force users. And so until like at the end of the trailer, you see the red lightsaber come through. And right. I feel like there's probably only a select amount of people that are out investigating this thing from the Jedi and reporting back to the council. And I feel like those people that know probably won't be returning back to the council to report on what they find in the end.
Right.
And, you know, this is supposed to be a darker series, so it would not surprise me if some of the people don't make it out of this alive to tell the tale. And so that's how you would get around that, especially if, like, Yoda isn't made aware of some of these things, because he, of all people, would be able to have knowledge of this going into the Phantom Menace and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that anyone who's made aware of this situation probably won't make it out of this situation with the what we know.
As someone like you who has consumed most of the High Republic content, or at least the main parts of it, will you find it odd if Yoda is not in the show?
No, actually, because in one of the novels that was out at one point in time, during the first phase of the High Republic, I believe, Yoda is away on some mission, and he's like meditating and doing some other things. So he's not around when some of the stuff that's happening during the High Republic is going down. Mm-hmm. So it would not surprise me if he could be written out of this series by saying that he's away doing something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is not, it's not unlike Jedi to go on, what do they call them? Like, I can't think of
like
the
name. Sabbatical
in real life. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's not uncommon for that to happen for Jedi. So I could see them doing that. Now I say that, but I also think that more than likely, because this is a series and it's not like it's difficult to do Yoda. So I feel like he could easily pop up in this series, not maybe throughout it, but for a scene or two, I could see him being in this.
Yeah. Again, referring to this interview, she doesn't explicitly mention Yoda at all. It's never even brought up, but there was something about the conversation in regards to Star Wars, like Easter eggs and cameos that that made me think that Yoda is not going to appear in this. But we still don't know. And, you know, as things go in the world of Star Wars and Lucasfilm, they could very much just be like trying to hold that back and make it a big surprise or something. Because part of me would be surprised if they didn't take the opportunity to to put Yoda in this. But I won't have a problem. As someone who has not consumed as much High Republic stuff and doesn't exactly know what's going on at the time period that we're seeing here, it's not like I'll have a problem that if he doesn't show up, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel about it. Yeah. And, you know, it feels like on either side, you might not be able to win with that, because if you have him in there, people say, oh, he's always in everything or whatever. And then if you don't have him in there, it's like, how can you not have Yoda? He was still around. Why, what was he doing? You know, so it's one of those things where I don't know how to appease everyone. But like I said, I think that I could easily see him showing up at some point, even if it's just for a scene or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Well, I think that's all we got for today, unless there's something else you want to talk about.
No, not really. I mean, yeah, I was going to mention, like I said, it's all Doom Part 2 again, this time in IMAX.
What'd you think?
It's still great.
Well, the IMAX format.
It's tough. Like, it's, you know, I'm coming from the perspective of the IMAX and Dolby theaters that I have, and it's going to be different for everybody, sadly. Like, here in Orlando, there's really only one true IMAX theater, which is where I went to go see it. It's down off of iDrive, kind of our tourist kind of corridor area. It's at a Regal, but it's been there a while. It is a true huge IMAX screen. I mean, they're not projecting it in film there. It's a digital projector. But that's one thing about that theater. And I've been going to that theater for a while. It had been a while now since I'd been there, because I was an AMC A-list member, and I've really just been going to AMC for a while. But I remember I saw, I think, The Dark Knight in that IMAX theater, and Dark Knight Rises, films that were projected, I'm pretty sure, on film back then. And like, when there were those scenes that took up the entire screen of that huge screen, I mean, it was the whole screen. But kind of like you talked about when we talked about Dune Part 2, like the scenes in the film that are the bigger aspect ratio definitely were not taking up the entire screen. It was still like kind of a portion of it, even though there were other portions that were taking up even less of the screen, like kind of that more traditional wide aspect ratio. Anyway, this is all my way of saying it's still a good movie, but you know, for my two presentations, if I had to do one or the other again, I'd probably see it in Dolby Cinema again, just because the presentation is so good. Or, I hate to say it, I'd go to the LIMAX screen, which I think, for whatever reason, just the projection of it seems better than, unfortunately, the true IMAX that we have. It's a bummer. I wish the true IMAX was better, but it's... It felt dimmer. It felt like the bulb could have been brighter or something. I don't know. But the movie's still great. It's a solid film. There's no doubt. It was good to see it again.
Yeah, I definitely feel like on my next time seeing it, it would be in the LIMAX because, like you said, I think it might fit that format a little bit better than the true IMAX.
Yeah,
for this particular one.
Yeah, I think so. That's why, like, if I did get to see it a third time, which is a possibility, I guess, I'd probably go see the LIMAX screen. That does remind me, though, of another question for you. So what are we, it's Tuesday, and the first showings for Ghostbusters is like 2 nights from now, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's been any like embargo for reviews or anything lifted. Like, I've seen no reaction to this movie.
Yeah, not yet. I think I heard that it's supposed to be lifted the day before or something like that.
Yeah,
and some people were speculating maybe it's because there's some surprises that happen in this movie that they don't want leaking out, and want people to just kind of see it. And I could see that, especially if, like, let's say one of the OG Ghostbusters dies off in this movie, right, or something. Then I can see why they would not want anything getting out there. I don't suspect that it's because it's just a terrible, awful movie. I'm going in expecting it not to be as good as the last one, because I enjoyed the last one.
I did too.
But I don't expect it to be bad. I expect it to be kind of mid, like just kind of like there. It's okay, but... They didn't really need to make this one, but it's not hurting anything, and you know, it's not going to be as good as this last one. That's kind of my expectations going into it, honestly.
I'm right there with you. That's pretty much where I am, and I feel like it's going to feel like, as a Ghostbusters fan, it's fun to be watching this and fun to be with these characters and in New York City again. It'll be cool, but it'll probably be a mid movie. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, sometimes it's concerning when you're like, oh wow, no reviews, huh? Like, usually, a lot of times anyway, that's not a good sign. So of course I go, oh man, I don't want to hate it. Like, then I'll be really bummed. So that's why it's just like that was also something that just popped up in my head today, and I kind of looked around. I was like, wow, yeah, there's no reactions to this movie. There's no Rotten Tomatoes score yet because there's no reviews. Like, should I be worried? I mean, I don't know
that's a natural inclination.
Yeah. And I don't know if and when you're seeing it, but I'm not seeing it till Sunday. So I'm like, well, I will at least have a couple days or more of listening to or seeing some reactions and going, I'm about to see a terrible movie, or we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
I just hope it's good. I hope I just overall enjoy it. I don't need it to be great, but I'm with you. I don't remember what the general reaction to Afterlife was, but I enjoyed Afterlife. I thought it was solid, and I've watched it again with the kids at home, and I like that movie. But that was all. I was just curious. I
agree, yeah.
I think that's going to do it for this episode. As always, we would love to hear back from all of you who are listening. You can email us at feedback@flickereffect.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at flicker_effect. And yeah, also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. It would be greatly appreciated. With that, I'm Dave Lott.
I'm Bobby Jackson.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.